Well, good morning. And it is a good morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I've got a PowerPoint. Is that ready to go? Oh, I've got this machine to make it work. Fabulous. So what I speak about this morning is the new has come. Before I start, I need to calm a moment, so let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come to worship you this morning, that we've been able to witness a miracle of salvation acted out in baptism. Lord, we pray that as we explore some of these ideas, you'll open our hearts to more of what you're doing in the lives of each one of us. Help me, Lord, as I speak, to make you known. Amen. So, the new has come. Today we're celebrating the new life that is implanted in Karen, Nathan and Gary. As it says in Paul's second letters. Oh, let's see if we can get this to start. Am I on? Oh, I have to be turned on. I'm fine. There. If anyone is in Christ, that's Christ, that's a title given to Jesus. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. We see three new ones this morning. Perhaps the first thing for me to say this morning is that most of you are here because Gary or Karen or Nathan are your relatives or your friends and you love them. Perhaps you're here because you heard there will be a baptism. You're intrigued, interested, puzzled. Whatever the reason, Gary, Karen and Nathan, our friends, are delighted that you are here. All of us are glad that you're here. And indeed, so is God. He knows that you love your friends. He knows that you want to learn something new. God wants to bless you and show you his love for you. Do come in, friends. Our friends have told you a little of what God has done for them. They want you to know that same gift of grace that they have. My job now is to say a bit more than what they've said. So let's start with what has happened. Apart from a couple of balloons bursting. Thank you, Susan. Well, you've all seen it for yourselves. One by one, three people have been plunged into water and emerged grinning, laughing, emotional, thrilled. It's what we call baptism by full immersion. In the pool, we made sure that Gary, Karen and Nathan were completely covered in water. And when they came up, they rose exultant. It is a way that as adults, we can show that we know God loves us and have accepted that Jesus has saved us from our sins and brought us to God. Baptism is a powerful symbol of something all three already know. Baptism is a picture of being united with Christ in his death and rising to new life with him. Well, why is it necessary? These three seem like good people, but they and many others have realised that as Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Does that mean we're all bad people? Well, no and yes. Right at the beginning of the Bible, it makes it clear that we are made in the image of God. After creating the world and the animals, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. So the culmination of God's creation was man and woman made in his image, and it was very good. Yes, you and I, every person in this room are made in the image of God, and that is very good. You can celebrate a moment for that if you like. However, the Bible goes on to show that we sport the good image by turning away from God, with pride, envy, murder entering into the world. It has affected us all. We all have occasions when we feel that things had not gone as they should, or we've done something that we wish we had not. I know I'm always letting myself and God down. Perhaps you can remember a time when you or our children got some beautiful new clothes for a special occasion. A photo was taken. You looked like an angel. But within minutes, you got into a scrape. Your clothes were torn and you were covered in mud. You had not meant to, or perhaps you had. Either way, the beautiful image was marred. Your parents disappointed and you sent to your room. A relationship broken. You had fallen short of your initial glory. This is perhaps a trivial illustration, but Genesis shows that this disobedience has led to terrible evil and separation between God and man. The problem is that God does not want to see us dirty, tainted by the mistakes we've made or the deliberate acts of wrongdoing. He wants to see again that beautiful image he gave us. He wants to wash away the dirt and grime of sin. That is one of the pictures that baptism gives us. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a reminder to us that God has washed away our sins if we've trusted in him. Our friends have emerged with pure hearts and shining faces. God could not just ignore our sins, just as that tear in a child's dirty trousers couldn't be ignored. But God had a better plan. God sent his son, Jesus, to show us how to live a good life. And Jesus, having lived a good life, gave his pure life as a sacrifice for all. He died for us so that we need not die. Then, with the price of sin paid, God raised Jesus from the dead, the first fruits of all humanity, to enjoy eternal fellowship with the Father. Baptism is a wonderful visual image of our participation in that miracle of salvation. I just loved getting in the pool. That was great, wasn't it? And just looking and seeing what God, in the picture language, what God is doing in the lives of three people. And what he wants to do in the lives of more. You know, if it was a video game, we could say it was immersive. I had to get one joke in. So Peter says this. This water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. That's why we had some prayers together, some commitment prayers. We asked people to say some things about what they're going to do with what God's done to them. Because it's a pledge of a clear conscience toward God. And it saves them, saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We celebrate that Jesus is alive, he's raised. As our friends were plunged beneath the water, it depicted them as joined with Jesus in his death. The death we all deserve was taken by Jesus. When our friends were put beneath the water, they signified their being joined with Jesus in his death. As Romans 6 puts it, don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? But many of you will be relieved we didn't leave them under the water. I think three particularly. They were raised, as it were, from death to life, risen to share the triumph of Jesus over death. Jesus has risen from the grave. He's defeated our final enemy. He is alive. And just as our friends were joined to Jesus in his death, they are now raised with him to new life. it says in Romans, we were therefore buried with him into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We unapologetically believe that Jesus is alive, that he was raised from the tomb. He's at work in this world now, and we praise him that he's at work in the life of our three friends, Gary and Karen and Nathan, today. He's in life in many more of you too, I can see.
Amen.
I knew if I waited long enough, someone would break the silence. Hallelujah. Thank you. Gary, Nathan and Karen have been baptized to show that knowing Jesus has changed their lives, and they are glad and have made a commitment to their lives in a new way, trusting in God. The new has come. Actually, I like that thought, that they're glad. In the little booklet that I don't know if Susan's mentioned, a little booklet that explains a bit more about baptism. Oh, I'm jumping ahead. I'm stealing my wife's thunder. There's some stories of people who talked about Christians as though they didn't have a good time, that they shouldn't be glad. But we are glad, because Jesus makes us glad. The new has come. But as we said, it's a moment we've seen death and resurrection shown in baptism. It's a moment for each one of us to reflect on our own life before God. It's a moment when we can renew our commitment that we've already made to continue living to please God. Or maybe now's the time for you to turn back to God. In a few minutes, we'll pray together, Susan permitting. She told me I had to be very short. But before we do that, a word on what we did immediately after each baptism. We prayed for our friends. We all know that we cannot keep living God's way on our own. We need God's help. The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel wrote that God promised a new kind of life for his children. Oh, I've missed this one. He said, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you'll be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. So we've seen some of that cleansing. But also, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And that's why we prayed afterwards. Because we believe that God's Spirit is already at work in our friends. We want to see him poured more and more into their lives. That Spirit put in you, to move you to follow God's decrees and be careful to keep his laws. We can't do it on our own, but God has provided a way through his Spirit. Oh, I've missed about five slides there, haven't I? Yes. Fine. Turn the page. So we follow the example of Paul, the Acts of the Apostles. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. Already, our friends have experienced God's Spirit working within them. We pray they'll be filled to overflowing with the joyous presence of the Lord Jesus living within them by his Holy Spirit. Enable them to live the new life they've told you about today. I was grateful that Gary kind of talked about the length of his coming to God. And I just wanted to say, with all respect to my friends, I'm thrilled to see older people baptized and welcomed into God's family. It is so exciting. You see, it's never too late to come to God. But God wouldn't want you to tarry and wait. Even now, he's ready for you to come to him. I think Gary was suggesting that we don't have to chase after Jesus. He is already chasing, looking for us, wanting us to draw close to him. Baptism shows what God can do for you today. He can wash away your sin. He can put to death the old life of misery, failure and sin and raise you to new life. Jesus has made this possible. He's paid the price by his death on the cross so that anyone can have a life of peace and fellowship with God. In perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, it says this: "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He died that we might have life. The offer is open now." Will you say with our friends, "The new has come"? If God has spoken to you today, speak to me or your friends after the service. Anyone taking part would love to speak with you. But don't let this moment pass. It's a chance now to make a renewed commitment to God in front of the baptistry where we've seen the miracle of God's saving act portrayed so vividly. God brought you here with a purpose this morning to remind you of what he's done for you, to tell you he can refresh you, renew you, take away the sin, revive you again in that joyous resurrection experience of Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, alive today. I will stop there now and invite Susan to return. Sorry? Okay. Susan says, "I can go on."
That's what I heard.
Hallelujah. I think there is a prayer that I think will be helpful to us all now. If you've never, actually, I'll show the first part of it to you. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you as Saviour. So I'm going to lead us in this prayer. You can bow your heads and just listen to the words. You could look and read along the words with me. Perhaps if you want to make a fresh commitment to God or a new commitment to God today, you could perhaps raise your hand as a sign to him that something is happening to you. Actually, it's not so much a sign to God. He knows what's in your heart. It's a token for yourself. Yes, I'm putting my hand up. I'm making that commitment. I can remember when we went to various youth events with Jonathan, he always wanted to raise his hand because he wanted to show that he was involved. And it was so exciting for us as parents to see him so engaged in things. So it's exciting to God if he sees your hand and knows you're engaged. But he knows your heart anyway. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you as Saviour, asking you to forgive me for all the wrong things I have thought, said, done in my life. I choose to turn away from everything that is wrong. I believe that you died on the cross for me so that I can be forgiven and set free.
Thank you
that you offer me a gift of life. Please come and fill me with your Holy Spirit and make it possible for me to walk with faith with you, my Lord and my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.